Brothers, you think the goal is marriage with no arguments, with no disputes, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had them. The question is, how do you have them? Listen, I've been married for over 20 years, and I've been dealing with and coaching brothers in this chapter of life for almost as long. And one thing that I tell brothers all the time, when, not if, you get into a disagreement, which we may term an argument, make sure that it serves as a process for establishing or maintaining purification and not a means to tear you both apart. In this video, inshallah, we're going to show you the benefits of having an argument, the benefits of having disagreement, and how that is a means for you to be a better man, further shaping your house upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillah. The first benefit of this is that this is of the strongest means to strengthen your heart and your humility. How is that the case? Because any conflict is a means of purification. You know, we use the word fitna or Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says fitna, and fitna comes from using iron and putting it under heat. And the reason you put iron under heat is to mold it and condition it to a different shape, to purify it of any impurities, to further reach another shape and another reality for itself. Well, imagine when you get into conflict with your wife, being the conflict here is a disagreement, something that you are very passionate about that she may not be, therefore having a different opinion on a very important subject matter that is very important to both of you as a marriage. That conflict is going to happen. But firstly, knowing that you as a man that hopefully is leading the family and trying to do your best, is that this conflict is a means for you to look at yourself, to look at her. So jihad and nafs is required. Fighting the self is required. What do I mean by this? That when you fight yourself from doing something that could be detrimental to your character, to her character, having the urge to stonewall, meaning that just to shut down, to escape, not to speak, or not to regulate your emotions by getting angry and saying something detrimental, finding that middle ground and not doing the things that you know may fulfill your desire at the moment, but will have long-term effects on your relationship. This is where you introduce what is known as the power of the pause. This is what we call it. You have that pause and asking yourself, what am I doing? The pause is not for you to escape and to just think everything is fine and to say that everything is fine. Rather, you're pausing to ask yourself questions. And this is what we call the muraqabah, is to monitor the self. You're monitoring yourself during this moment. You're remembering the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're regulating that anger. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the man and this the Muslim in general? Allah mentions those good doers. They're the ones that regulate their anger. They regulate it. Doesn't discount the anger, but how do we act when, not if, it comes? And they pardon people. Allah loves the doers of excellence. Attributing excellence to those that regulate those emotions that could be harmful. That is the process of purification. And that's what's needed from you. Look, it's important to understand that, you know, from the verse that we just covered, that Kalamin al-Ghayth, he's angry because of a certain conflict that took place. It's very important in the process of this that understanding that conflict will uncover what complacency and ease does not. You know, when you get into that disagreement and she looks at you a certain way and that y'all are both realizing, okay, we disagree with each other and we're very passionate about our position, you have to ask yourself the questions at that time. If you said something and she responds in a way that can get you angry, okay, is this because of my ego? Is it something that I'm saying? Is it the tone? Is it the time that I addressed it? You're going through these questions in your mind and you're asking yourself first before you immediately jump onto her, before you immediately say what she's not doing or what she did. Am I becoming defensive? Am I sounding too controlling? Am I dismissive? Am I someone that's inconsiderate of her feelings in the way that I just, you know, move my hand, in the way that I turned away? Am I dismissive of her feelings? Am I laughing at her responses like she's belittled? Is there a level of contempt in the way that I'm talking to her? This is the period of process. This is the actualization of it because you're looking at yourself first and holding yourself accountable. And also, when we look in this verse as well, silence is not restraint all the time, because we have brothers out there that are conflict averse and they say, you know what, she's just going to scream. I don't want to deal with it at all. I just want peace. And this is something that we men do want, ladies. We do want peace. But peace at the cost of your effect, at the cost of your leadership, is where the man has to draw the line, is where there has to be the level of uncomfortability internally to ask yourself those questions and to further address it later if you happen to separate. So without a doubt, the first benefit of having arguments is to understand that it's a means and huge opportunity to strengthen your heart, purify your nafs, and to make you more of a humble servant to Allah. The second benefit is that it serves as a huge opportunity for you to learn more about her. Do not enter the argument to defend yourself. If you enter the argument thinking, okay, what is there something more that I can learn more about the one that Allah has put in my care and my trust? It's amana to further fulfill your purpose in life. Looking at her and seeing how she's changing, even by seeing how you are changing when she responds to you a certain way. This can open a lot of doors, and it's very important. That's why it's very important to be attentive when, not if, but when there are disagreements, conflicts, arguments between you two. It could be that she's gotten a new job, you have another child, and your in-laws are moving near, her parents are moving near, her friend is near that moved into town, so she's going to change. And she may not do the things that she used to do for you, so it brings forth conflict. She may not be home at a certain time when you come home that you really want to see her or be with her, and she's not there. And you find yourself getting grouchy, and she tells you that you're getting grouchy, but you get defensive because she's not there. It uncovers a lot of things when you have the intention of learning more about her. And when you do that, that serves as a huge opportunity for you to practice what was mentioned earlier, to practice your patience, to ask yourself certain questions on what you're doing or not doing, which may cause her to respond or act in that particular way. And there are a lot of factors, don't misunderstand me, there are a lot of factors that come into play into this. As I tell brothers that prepare to get married, what is her sibling sequence? Is she the oldest daughter out of, five other young boys, young brothers? Then there may be some characteristics and personality traits that are different than if she was the youngest girl out of five brothers. You see, there's going to be different expectations from her, and the events in her life will cause her to respond in a different way that may catch you off guard, therefore causing an argument or a conflict. She may have an introverted personality. She may not be emotionally intelligent, and you never knew that until you got into a conflict. That is why it's so important to be present through the process and not just to be reactive, but to be proactive as a husband. When she finds a new job, she may work part-time. She finds out she loves working at the school as a teacher. She loves working at the masjid and helping in volunteerships on Sundays and Saturdays. But it changes up the schedule. It changes up things that you are expecting from her in the house. How are you going to address it? When she finds out that you have this face, wajhun abus, when she comes home and you're already there and it wasn't like that, she would always be home. Now you have an attitude and she's asking, why do you have an attitude? And you start to address it in a way that is not befitting. You raise your voice, you use words, you talk about responsibility, you start spitting ayat. This is where she may uncover things that she never told you before. Use that as an opportunity to learn more about her. What was she holding in? Am I understanding that you were not happy these past couple of years? Is that what I'm understanding? I just want clarification, right? You pause, but when she says what she says, that's very disparaging to you. You're learning more about her, which will allow you to further speak to her in a way that's conducive for the relationship. But most importantly, it is a way to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being thankful, being courteous, being protective, being merciful of the one that Allah has given you as your partner. What's important is, men, subhanAllah, one of the main characteristics that they may find that we will hear a lot, that I hear a lot from the women, is that he doesn't understand me, or he doesn't spend time to sit and talk with me. And the men say, look, I'm not going to pour my emotions out. No, they're both extreme. It's not about pouring out your emotions, but it's about sitting to understand where she's coming from and not ridiculing while you're asking. I just want to understand. Can you please explain this to me? I just want to understand where you're coming from in this. You're asking questions of curiosity. This is after you've had a pause and relaxed. You're coming back calm to learn more about where she's getting this opinion from, why she has this take. From that, you're going to learn more about your actions over the past couple of years that you may not have been conscious of. You may not have been conscious that you come in the house and you don't communicate. You come in the house and you demand. You come in the house and you talk about what needs to be fixed or what needs to be cleaned. And you don't even realize it because, mashallah, she listens to you. But when she, her time gets tight because her sister moved into town, or she is doing some volunteership at the masjid, or starting to teach, whatever it is, her time, her schedule is different, and she's not able to attend to certain things that you were used to. This is why it's important for you to sit down periodically and to have conversations with her, to learn more about her, to seek to understand instead of always demanding to be understood. And brothers, let's be honest, when it comes to learning more about her, make no mistake that when you're going to ask her certain questions, she's going to tell you more answers that you don't want to hear, right? She may say things, and it may, on her part, may not be the wisest way to say it. But if you're going to say you're going to lead and you're going to lead the family, you have to be able to take that and process it. That's the purification we talked about earlier. You ask her, is there something wrong? Like, am I seeming dismissive? She may say, look, you communicate with me like you talk to your younger sister. You raise your voice at me like I'm nobody. You disrespect me, right? You never this. She may use fixed mindset words that are not correct, but at that point, that's where you lead. That's where you pause. But you're understanding in the process. She gave you the answers, poured out her emotions, and said it in a way that's not befitting, may not be the wisest way of saying it. Why? Because she's pouring out her what? Her emotions. She's pouring out her emotions while you're staying contained, you're calm, collect, and you're listening. You're actively listening. And brothers, make no mistake, they appreciate when you actively listen. They may not appreciate it at the moment, but the fact that you sat down to understand is what they will remember. That's what's important. Seek to understand her. Learning more about her, arguments, conflicts, disagreements, fitna will bring that forth. Serves as a huge opportunity. You know, there was a situation where brother was, subhanAllah, he was in the process of moving and he traveled every now and then. And subhanAllah, as he was packing up, you know, he was kind of hustling, bustling, right? He had to hurry up and go. His wife is sitting there in the garage with the kids. And as he's doing it, he stops and he looks at her and he sees that her face is distraught. You know, at this moment, the man could say, oh, well, you know, she's just going to have to deal with it. I mean, she sees that I'm here trying to support the family. I'm struggling. They can't carry any of this load that I'm loading onto the truck and I'm about to go to the airport. And, you know, she's not carrying this luggage. She can't. I don't expect her to, but she's distraught for what reason? I don't know. Al-Fattah, the one that opens doors and opens the hearts, stopped him. He walked to her. He grabbed her arm and he asked, how you doing? And she saw that she didn't see. She felt that he really was concerned. He asked her, how you doing? And she told him, subhanAllah, you know what? That's all I wanted. That's all I needed from you, just to ask, how are you doing? Because no one asks me that. I'm in the house and I'm always just doing, no one's asking me, thank you. They hugged and they kissed and he walked away and she was smiling. And he's thinking to himself, subhanAllah, I just learned something about my wife. I never knew all the three kids later, never really knew how important that was to her. What does this do? It further leads to other conversations in the future of her history with her father, her brothers, etc. He's learning more about her. Does this not enrich the relationship in the future? Does it not give you, gentlemen, does it not give you the formula of success in how to appropriately communicate with her? Words, feeling, learn more about your wife in the times of conflict. The third benefit is to understand that Islam gives us the tools to monitor and manage and further purify ourselves with them. Even though we mentioned that earlier, it's really important for us to look into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's even take a step back that the fact that there are disagreements between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wives, the fact that there was ila, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu left for 29 days, there was dhihar, that the one companion made a disparaging statement to his wife, radiallahu anhuma, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam solved the problem. When Aisha broke the dish, all of this really happened. We have to understand that Al-Qadir wa Al-Alim, the one that is able to do all things, Allah, the one that has knowledge, comprehensive knowledge, within his predestination allowed this to happen for divine reasons, plural. From them, definitely, is to teach us how to be as human beings, as Muslims, as worshipers of Allah, as followers of the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why Allah allowed it to happen. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Allah says, we have not sent you except as a mercy for mankind. And that's what leads us to this third benefit, is using the tools as the man and as the leader to effectively communicate into your relationship or in your relationship. This is a huge benefit. So, for example, you know, the conflict-averse man will say something, the one that just wants peace. He says, look, I'm not a good communicator. I was raised, I don't talk. My dad didn't talk. We didn't talk at all. But subhanAllah, that's not going to work with your daughter, maybe your children and your wife. You know, having to communicate effectively, being conflict averse, is not a solution to your problem. It only prolongs the possible resentment and further disrespect, right? Understanding that your wife is trying to tell you something, she may not know how to do it. So using these proper terms and proper means of communication is very important. So for example, when it comes to patience, you understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions patience in the Quran, but being gentle and showing your patience is what is very important for you if you plan to lead the family. And brothers, this is important because we talked about, you know, the pause. Hopefully when you, the power of the pause, you pause and you come back and say something, but it's in the realm of being gentle, in the realm of having mercy, in the realm of pardoning her. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ma kana rifqan fi shay'in illa zana, wa la yunza'u min shay'in illa shana." Or kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that gentleness was not in something except that it beautified it, and it was not taken away or extracted from something except that it made it ugly and didn't make it beautiful. And also having the mercy upon your wife and understanding. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "La yafraku mu'minun mu'mina idha kariha minha khuluqan radiya bi akhar aw radiya minha akhar." Kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the believing man should not hate the believing woman. If there's a characteristic that he does not like, there is also a characteristic that he likes. He needs to look at it in that light and understand that there will be deficiencies in both of us. And for you to lead, you have to be the one that sets the tone. And without a doubt, what you say, how you say it, when you say it, is going to have an effect. So for example, if you, you know, being patient at the time of conflict, she says something that she doesn't like, she says something that you don't like, she may raise her voice and say, "That's why you are always this." And then you come back and say, "Well, you're never this, always never," fixed mindset words. We want to use words that indirectly may bring some hope. Like she says, you're always late, and that's, you always disrespect me. You say, okay, I understand that, but I need to see where we're going to go with this. Actually, the way that you said it, you raised your voice, I don't appreciate that. So I don't appreciate this, but you're saying it with a calm tone. After a pause, "I don't appreciate that. How can we get to a solution in this?" Or, "I don't appreciate what you just said," right? What is really behind that, right? These are statements that show that you have composure, you're calm, you're patient. Even though she was at volume 10, you're at volume 2. To where someone was walking by, and I remember when I was a non-Muslim, I used to think, "Oh man, she's taking care of him. She's giving him the business." But in actuality, it's the man that's sitting there cool, calm, collect. He's speaking and responding, but she's going off. He's the one that's in control, and he has a control of the conversation. Patience. So in that case, when you're patient, she'll remember later that you responded with patience. You didn't respond calmly with piercing, hurtful words. Rather, it was trying to understand where you're coming from with this and expressing your feelings at the same time. Hilm also, being someone that has forbearance. Hilm is beautiful because, you know, hilm shows that you have the power to respond in that way, but you don't, which also exhibits control. So it's not like, "Lower your voice and don't talk to me that way. You better watch how you're talking to me," right? Rather, it's, "Look, I don't want to continue talking like this. Let's stop the conversation and come back to it, because this is disrespectful. I feel that this is disrespectful, and we need to go back and review the situation," right? Instead of raising your voice over hers in order to exhibit authority or to make her feel that she is totally wrong and she needs to just be quiet, or to show dominance that you're going to force her into your opinion. Rather, it's, no, hold on, no. Let's not do it this way, because it's only going to result into something worse. And I know both of us don't want that. So what we need to do is talk in a way that we don't hurt each other, right? And if she continues on, this is where you have to back off and possibly de-escalate the situation by leaving. But communication, in the course of communication, is to where you use words that are not hurtful, but they have boundaries as well. Helm. So using these tools, brothers, I'm not here and sitting here and saying that it is very difficult, but I'm saying this is an aspect of the jihad in us. Instead of using those fixed mindset words, always, never, you know, instead of raising your voice because she raised hers to show your authority to really think that that's going to matter ultimately, it's rather having that pause, exhibiting control, and showing that you have this under control and that you're willing to control the situation ultimately, right? Using these words and using these phrases, it's a process. It's not an event, even though at the event will show the proof of the process that you've been going through. So these three benefits are very, very important for us to understand that when, not if the argument happens, that it's a means of purification, you're going to learn more about her and using the tools. Allah, Islam is giving you tools to use to rectify the problem and to go through the fitna as a purified brother, father, husband, Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all and make you, brother, strong throughout the process, being leaders that love your family and that love Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.